Thank you all for being here today. Bible. How many have their Bible? The Word of God. We're going to get right to it this morning. Will, do you have any of those pictures of the property, what's done so far? Is that going to take too long to pull those up? I didn't tell you, but I thought you might already have them. So thankful. You got a mic up there, Will? You don't have a mic, do you? Okay. That's all right. These are some of the walls in the new facility. Can you show some of those pics? Just go through them pretty quick. Of course, there's the foyer part where you come in, the entryway. You're looking at it from up to the church. It's a little bit hard to see there, but there's more walls going up around the foyer part. I know you look at that and you say, well, it's not very big. I know it's not like...
That part right there, you can actually sit this sanctuary inside that, and that is still 10 foot longer.
That's just the foyer part. That's where the...
The current sanctuary we're in right now, if you look for the chain link fence back there all the way to the door, you could set it down inside the foyer, and the foyer is still 10 foot longer. Actually have more than one bathroom.
You have
actually more stalls in there. So
you have offices. We have a coffee shop. We have a meeting, greeting area. We have a fireplace with a greeting area in one corner. Walls. You have any more of the ones that you showed the other night, or you don't have those anymore? That's okay.
It would take a second.
That's okay. We don't have them. We'll show them as we're going along. But they lack all but one wall on one side of the sanctuary, having all the walls up. It's an amazing thing. Thank you, Lord. Amen. So I want everybody this morning to turn in the Word of God to a scripture. When I was reading this morning, it's like I was shaking inside. When the Lord was speaking to me, I was shaking. And Kathy said, I was telling her about it, and she said, the book of Isaiah, chapter 52. And as you turn there, and as I was reading and you know, opening my heart to the Word of God this morning, this has really been on my heart for a long time. And actually, I've almost done it a couple times, but it wasn't God's timing. And I feel like it is today in the book of Isaiah 52. And while you're turning there, I was shaking inside. How many's ever been shaken inside when you feel something shaking in you? Literally. How many's ever felt that? Like, is something wrong with me? I feel like a real shaking inside. Well, that's what I was feeling this morning, a shaking in myself, in my life, as I was reading the scripture and reading the Word of God. And I'm going to read a couple verses, well, a few verses here. And as you're turning there, there's a lot of things on my heart. There's no, whoa, man, no. It's okay. Thank you, Roman. So as I was reading the scripture, I began to shake, but God has really laid this on my heart. And I'm going to share a dream with you. I'm going to share a dream with you. And I'm going to sort of walk through that dream. We got some people playing some parts this morning. And I just called them on the fly this morning. This has not been rehearsed, really. Oh, man. The alarm went off. How many's ever had that happen before? How many likes to push the snooze button when the alarm goes off? Come on, guys, be honest with you. You know what I'm talking about. How many times? Two times. All right, Chris has got it programmed. Two times he pushes the snooze button. You know what? When I was teaching school, I used to dream this. I dreamed, and it's sort of like a nightmare because, you know, you don't want to arrive late to work with, you know, 25 kids in your classroom. Where's Mr. Reynolds? So I'd have this, like, nightmare, this scary. I'd wake up and I'd, you know, I was concerned, worried that I would oversleep and miss my class, miss going in. In fact, we had educators at the school I taught in. One lady came late a lot, and on her license plate, I promise this is the truth, she had on her license plate, late every day. What? Okay. Late every day. And I'm not going to say her name. You know, I love her. But, you know, she was sort of, and we actually had another teacher in her school that sometimes, you know, they were late and they didn't realize it. They overslept. And actually the office had to call their house to wake them up. I mean, that's a pretty scary place to be in. Because, see, I wasn't thinking about just the school. I was thinking about Wise County, who had employed me. So how many knows that you can't be late for work? You've got to, you know, it's important that we know that we want to wake up in the morning so we can go to our destination. That's very important, very important. But, you know, Isaiah 52, powerful scriptures here in the Word of God. If you're there, say amen. And I'm going to read verse 1, 2, and then we're going to skip to 6, and we're going to read down to 12. Awake, awake, put on your strength. O Zion, if you want to stand, you're able. Thank you. This is God's word. It's not to honor me, okay? Put on your beautiful garments, O Jerusalem, the holy city, for the uncircumcised and the unclean shall no longer come to you. He said, shake off, shake yourself from the dust. Arise and sit down, O Jerusalem. In the last part of that verse, it said, loose yourself from the bonds of your neck, O captive daughter of Jerusalem. O captive daughter of Jerusalem. Then look in verse 6, okay? Verse 6. Therefore my people shall know my name. Therefore they shall know it in the day that I am he who speaks. Behold, it is I. How beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him who brings good news. I don't want anybody ever tell me that I got ugly feet again. Amen? Oh, you missed that. I said, don't ever laugh at my crooked toes and my feet again, because the Lord says they're beautiful. Amen? How beautiful are the feet of those that carry glad tidings. Amen. The Word of God. Proclaim the Word of God. Who proclaims salvation. Who says to Zion, your God reigns. How many knows that our God reigns? Wow, man. Whoa, did you just hear what I said? I said, our God reigns. Not any government in the world, not any power or kingdom in the world reigns. God reigns supreme. Amen. Can somebody shout amen? Do you believe that God reigns? Amen. Amen. Lord, you're going to have to wake some people up this morning. I can see that. You're going to have to wake some people up because we've been pushing the snooze button long enough. And there are powerful things that God wants to do in the earth and he wants to do in your life. And guess what? He has chosen you to be adorned with his grace and love to carry forth that message of salvation. So this morning, look in verse 8. Your watchmen shall lift up their voices. With their voices they shall sing together, for they shall see eye to eye. When the Lord brings back Zion, bring forth, break forth into joy. Sing together, you waste places of Jerusalem, for the Lord has comforted his people. He has redeemed Jerusalem. The Lord has made bare his holy arm, and the eyes of all the nations and all the ends of the earth shall see the salvation of our God. Depart, depart. Go out from here. Touch no unclean thing. Go out from the midst of her. Be clean, you who bear the vessels of the Lord. For you shall not go out with haste, nor go out by flight. For the Lord will go before you. Guess what? The Lord goes before you, and the Lord's going to go behind you. Amen. Everywhere that you go, everywhere that your feet go, the Lord's going to go before you, and the Lord's going to go behind you. He's your front guard, and he is your rear guard. How many knows that? That's pretty awesome to know that you're surrounded by God's grace and providence. Everybody shout amen. For the Lord will go before you, and the God of Israel will be your rear guard. You may be seated. Amen. Amen, 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 amen. I had a dream. This dream was back in January. I had this dream, and the scriptures that God showed me were these scriptures, and there were some scriptures I'll share with you just in a minute. But the dream sort of startled me. It wasn't a nightmare, but it startled me. In this dream, I had this robe on. It wasn't a robe, like it was just a garment. We've got our thing again, Will. Somewhere this was a garment, okay? You see, I'm nervous and I'm supposed to ask somebody. Amen. It all works, doesn't it? Amen. I knew there was two armholes there or some way to put that in. And so I had this garment on. And I may not even have it on right, but I had this garment, this cloak around me, this long cloak around me. And I was sitting, I was walking around in a group of people. And I had this blanket or this garment, this covering around me. And I guess what I was really doing was, I might have been cold, I don't know. I'm trying to think of what, maybe I had this cloak on or this garment on. Maybe I was cold. But I know I was in sort of a cold little atmosphere. And I was trying to wake everybody up. The coldness didn't stand out to me. It was the fact that everybody around me was asleep. Everybody around me was asleep. And so I did this maybe seemingly strange thing as I was walking around. What I was trying to do was wake everybody up, trying to stir up people. And I had in my hand like a bowl. I didn't say it looked like this, but it was some kind of vessel or bowl. And what I did with that, can you come up here, Grant? I want you to hold this. I need this. I need you to stand right here beside me and just be my microphone guy so everybody can hear. What I was doing, it was I was walking around. You go everywhere I was going. Let me push the snooze button. Okay. I was walking around in a room full of people who were sleeping. And what I was doing, don't get alarmed at this, okay? And what I was doing, I was taking water from this vial and pouring it on people. And I was saying, wake up. Wake up. Wake up. Stay with me. Wake up. Wake up. Every Sunday, I stand from behind this pulpit with the Word of God in front of me. You know what the Word of God? It's the water. It's the water of the Word. The Word is the water. And the Lord spoke to me and said, this is what I'm trying to do, son. I'm trying to wake up my people. I'm trying to waken their hearts. I'm trying to wake up the dreams inside of them. I'm trying to wake up the purpose and destiny inside of them. I'm trying to wake them up because they're sleeping and they're in a sleepy condition. So my responsibility, as I was walking around the room, restoring water on everybody, urging them to wake up, Wake up! Wake up! Wake up! How many's ever threatened somebody in your family? If you don't get up, I'm going to bring water and pour it on your face. How many's ever done that before? My mom would threaten me and say, if you don't get up, I'm going to take a wet washcloth and I'm going to come in there and wash your face. How many's ever had that somebody tell you that before? So my whole time holding that vessel, was walking around the room, pouring water on people and waking people up. God is trying to wake people up. You know, God's alarm is going off, and people are just like, so what? So what? I got 5 more minutes, I'll hit snooze. I got 5 more minutes. You know, no one in this room is promised another minute. No one in this room, I know you say, well, God said I could have 70 years. Oh, sometimes that may be the course. That's the set time or that God has set for men chronologically, or women, or the human race, to 70 years. And I know some people are blessed to live way in their 90s and some people in their 100s. But listen, actually, we none have the promise of tomorrow. What we have is today. Amen. Everybody shout, today. Today is important because it's about opportunity. It's about opportunity. My whole job, my whole assignment there was to go around and wake up the people that were sleeping around me. And then the Lord put this scripture. I woke up with this scripture, Matthew 24:12-13. He said, because iniquity would abound, the love of many would wax cold. Because of the day and the hour that we live in, it's though that people know that there are things going on in them that don't seem to be right. And we can look and all kinds, God's given us all kinds of wake up jolts. And you know, God's coming to us and waking up, trying to wake us up, trying to move us and trying to shake us and trying to put his hand on us and trying to move in our midst. And no matter how much that God does in our midst, it seems like things don't move us like they used to. How many knows that there was a time in your life that the word of God truly moved you? The word of God could be preached and you couldn't do nothing but sit there and use your handkerchief and cry because you were overwhelmed by God's word. How many knows that when God reveals his word to us, it's like it's an overwhelming thing when God reveals his word to us. God is doing miracles every day. God is doing amazing things in the body of Christ. He's doing amazing things on the earth. He's doing amazing things in our midst. He's doing amazing things that are yet to come. But it seems like that because we're asleep, and I'm not saying everybody is asleep. I believe everybody sometimes has trouble waking up in the morning. I know what it was to be a teenager sometimes, sleeping late when I could on Saturday mornings. When I was a young kid, I wanted to get up and run through the hills. But it seemed like when I got older, I wanted to sleep later. And you know what? I remember my mom and my dad telling me before, son, you're going to sleep your days away. How many's ever heard that? You're going to sleep your life away. How many knows that sometimes the place that we're in, lethargically, we can sleep our life away. And everybody, sure, they need rest. And you know, the Lord spoke to me. And can I share something with you? This is powerful. This is really powerful. You know, there's reasons why people sleep. There's actually reasons why people go to sleep. They want to go to sleep. Sometimes they go to sleep because they're tired and they're weary. You get tired and you're weary, your body does, then your body responds to that. And you want to sleep when you're tired and you're weary. Some people, because of different chemicals and things going on, they get tired and weary and they get agitated and maybe they don't sleep as well. But eventually he'll catch up to them because your body needs rest. We need the right amount of rest. But sometimes people fall to sleep because they fall asleep because they're tired or they're weary. And spiritually speaking, I know that there are some people who go to sleep because they're tired and they're weary. They just want to rest. They want to pull away. They want to just seclude themselves and rest spiritually. They want to not rest spiritually, but go to sleep. But this is a day and hour that we need to be alert. We need to be awake. We need to be attention. We need to stand up and rise up and realize that God has destiny and purpose for you to walk in. This is no time for you to be sleeping. This is no time. Jesus says we must work while it's day, because when night comes, no man can work. How many knows that you've got to work in the day? You can't be sleeping in the day. You've got to work in the day. You've got to rise and shine. I remember what Isaiah 61 says, arise and shine, for the light of the Lord has risen upon you. Arise, arise, for His light is shining upon you. His purpose, His plan is upon your life. God is awaking us. There's three powerful things here in the scripture that I want you to see in the Word of God. How powerful it is here. God tells Isaiah to tell my people that I want them to do three things. I want them to wake up. Everybody shout, wake up. And then I want them to shake off. Everybody say, shake off. And then I want them to loosen up. Everybody say, loosen up. And Will, I've got images up there, my brother, that I didn't tell you, but you know, sometimes we do got to shake ourselves, you know. You ever have a dog that got in the water before? You ever have a dog or pet get in the water before? Or get in the dust before? What's the first thing that that dog wants to do when he gets out? Shake it off, okay? You know, Heath used to tell Jake something a long time ago. I don't know if he still does that. But, you know, I remember my coach saying this. You fall down and, you know, you act like your leg's broken and you act like, you know, you're not going to do anymore. And I've heard the coach say, shake it off. How many has ever heard somebody say, just shake it off? You know, sometimes we can't just wake up. We got to shake off and then we got to loosen up. We got to loosen up. We got to wake up, shake off, and loosen up. That's what the Lord wants us to do. But many of us are still sleeping. And we keep hitting the pause button or the snooze button. We keep hitting the pause or the snooze. And we know that God's calling us to wake up. I've got things that I want to do in your life. I've got a purpose that I want to live in your life. I've got destiny that I want to live and walk out in your life. There are dreams that I want to fulfill in your life. There is a plan that I want to live out in your life. It's all about lost opportunities. I'm giving you opportunities to win the lost. I'm giving you an opportunity to make a difference in the world that you live in. We can't leave anything undone. We can't leave this walk of life with the feeling of I regret what I've done, even though we've all had regrets. Anybody in here real today? How many's ever had regrets in your life? What you have is today. And what we realize today is how powerfully important this is. What makes people sleepy? They're tired, they're weary. And sometimes people don't get rest. I was just talking to somebody on the phone this morning. They said they've been up all night with their kids on a birthday party mission. And they were tired and they were sleepy. And sometimes, you know, the devil wants you to go to sleep. But sometimes we do get tired. We do get tired naturally. And our body gets tired and we go to sleep. Sometimes we get tired when we get sick or we get ill. The body wants to sleep and rest because that's a natural thing for the body to do. You're really healing when you're sleeping, when you're sick and you don't feel well. You lay down and you take a nap or you sleep or you don't want to get up. How many's ever been there? You have a tendency to want to sleep when you're feeling bad. Spiritually, sometimes people get sick. How many know people sometimes get sick in their spirit? They get sick in their heart, spiritually speaking. They get sick in their emotions. They get sick in their life. And what we want to do is we want to escape. So we want to sleep. We want to sleep. We want to sleep. We want to sleep. Everybody say, wake up. wake up. And then sometimes people go to sleep when they're comfortable. When they're comfortable. You know, I know what people mean when they say this. Well, I want to go to a church that's real comfortable. And I know what you mean. I want to go to a church where I'm accepted. I want to go to a church where people love me. I want to go to a church where people won't judge me. Or I want to go to a church where I can feel a part, where I feel like God is speaking to me. And I understand what people are saying when they say, I want to be comfortable. But comfortable is a dangerous word, my friend. Comfortable is a dangerous word, because what it does, it propels us into a place of lethargy or apathy. We can become complacent where we are, so therefore nothing moves us. When we are struggling with apathy, we have a feeling or sense of unconcern. So what? I don't care, whatever, don't matter. It doesn't matter. How many knows that's a dangerous place to be? What you are doing in your life does matter. What you're doing in your life is important. And the enemy can put you to sleep. He can put you to sleep by being comfortable. So today God has challenged me. God's challenged me as a pastor, senior pastor here, to challenge you, to stretch you. How many knows that when you wake up first thing in the morning, the first thing you want to do is what? Oh, well, Lord Jesus, this is a hard crew today. I can see, do we have room at the altar? There's always room at the altar. But I can see there should be about 130 people at this altar today. Everybody say, wake up! Because what happens sometimes is that we fall asleep. We get comfortable. We fall asleep. You know, if you're not careful when you're driving your automobile and you've not had enough rest, you get too comfortable in that seat. You know, suddenly you'll doze off and you'll wake and, whoa, I'm over in the medium. I'm off the road. I'm off the shoulder. How many's ever been that way before? I came back from a revival up in northern Ohio one time. And as I was up there, Kathy and I was traveling on the roads. And I dozed off and I fell asleep. And suddenly I woke up and I was in the medium of the highway. And I didn't realize, but my slumber or my sleeping nearly destroyed Kathy and my life. Let me tell you something. If you don't wake up, your slumber and sleep will destroy your life. Amen. You were made to be a kingdom shaker. You were made to be a difference in this world that's lost, and you need to wake up. Turn to somebody and say, wake up. Wake up. Wake up. God's the alarm's going off. When we look around us, we see a world that's tossing to and fro. We see problems in the world, and it's not that we're focusing on those problems, but we hear of earthquakes in diverse places. We hear of all kinds of tragedies, death and violence. We hear of wars and rumors of wars. We hear of people dying of famines. And I know that some of these things have always been, but as the time approaching Jesus' return, they'll be more intensified. In fact, it likens it to a woman who is in labor. The closer she gets to the birth of the child, the greater the pains will be. Let me tell you something. God is sending a quake across the earth, and somebody is getting a hold of that in the earth. It's people who have heard the voice of the Lord and see God moving in the earth and say, God, I don't want to be asleep when you return. I want to be awake. I want your life to be lived in me. I want to be expecting. I want to be anticipating what you're doing in the earth the next moment. But how can you do that if you're asleep? How can you do that if you're asleep? You can't. I always had a fear of going to sleep and not waking up and not showing up on work at a time, and it was a nightmare to me, and seeing the principal give me a pink slip and say, sorry, Mr. Reynolds, we can't use sleepy people at the job. That was my nightmare. That was my fear, that I would go to sleep and not wake up. Some people sleep unnaturally because of medication. And I understand that. Some medicines make people drowsy and they make them asleep. But you know what? The devil's medications are lethal and toxic. He can give you a dose of stuff that will put you in a state of apathy and complacency where you don't care, where you're not concerned. And it doesn't matter how many times Jesus is trying to jolt you and shake you and wake you up, you're still just sleeping through it and you keep hitting the snooze button. Amen. How many in here is a morning person? How many is a late person? When I say morning person, I mean everybody's a morning person. You got up this morning, right? But when I say morning person, how many is the best of your day is in the morning? How many knows it? After you get a cup of joe, I'm ready to go, all right? Get a cup of joe and you're ready to go. Sometimes morning may be the best for you. But how many knows that sometimes people are not morning people? They're late people. And I used to work with people who were late people. Put your head down, close your eyes. And anybody peeks, I want you to look, Leroy. If anybody peeks, they're going to get in trouble. There's that alarm again. How many knows that sometimes people wake up like this in the morning? I said, how many knows that some people wake up like this in the morning? Get out of my way. My toast is burnt. My coffee's cold. Get out of my way. If you don't get out of my way, I'm going to give you a knuckle sandwich. I'm sorry, Jake. It's granddad. It's granddad. You know, I thought, Sal, that might happen, and I forgot. That crazy character I used in school, his name was Uncle Henry. But Uncle Henry always wakes up as a grouch because he's not a morning person. It takes him a while to wake up. God's trying to wake a people today to know his purpose and his plan for their life and their future. And Jesus is persistent to wake us up. He constantly comes to us. In the book of Revelation, chapter 3, and verse 21, the Bible said, Jesus said, behold, I stand at the door and knock. Everybody say the door. Everybody's got a door into your home. Everybody's got a door into your life. And that's the doorway to your heart. And listen, you remember a time when Jesus knocked at your heart. And his word compelled you. Turn your life over to me. Surrender your life to me. Give me your pain. Give me your sorrow. Give me your burdens. Give me the things that you're trying to carry yourself. I'll make your burdens light. I'll carry you. I'll give you victory. I'll deliver you from whatever. You remember the day that Jesus knocked at your heart's door and you opened your heart in and Jesus came in and you never was the same again. How many knows that? That there was a day that Jesus knocked at your door and you opened up and the Savior came in. And he awakens your life. He awakens your life. He awakens your life to powerful, powerful things. You know, there in this nation, there have been two great awakenings, spiritual awakenings. There have been powerful movements of God that moved in the earth. Revolutionary War, there was a great awakening. People like George Whitefield, Jonathan Edwards, other great men of God who preached the countryside. They didn't have fancy buses or airplanes to fly in. They took horses and carriages and they rode from community to community. But there was such a hunger that ignited and all awakened in people's heart that they couldn't get enough of God. They couldn't get enough of God. You know, sometimes people are satisfied with just a little bit of God. And I know some of you are too young. Maybe Jimmy will remember this. But when I was a kid, there used to be a commercial on television called Brill Cream. How many's ever heard of Brill Cream? Some of you probably don't even know what that is. And Willie, you're looking at me like, what is that? If you know what, it's a gel. It's a cream that men used to put in their hair to slick their hair back. In the commercial, one of the slogans or the kickoffs for the commercial was, a little dab will do ya. A little dab will do ya. How many knows a little dab of Jesus won't do ya? Amen. How many knows you've got to have the whole loaf? You've got to have the whole loaf. You want all of Jesus. You don't want just a little bit of him. Some people got just enough of him to make their lives miserable. Wake up. Everybody say, wake up. Wake up. Awake, awake. That's what the Lord said in the book of Isaiah chapter 51. Again, three times or four, the Lord spoke to his people and he said, awake, awake, arise. Awake, arise. And he's compelling his people. And you got to understand that God's speaking to the nation of Israel and Judah. And they had given their life over to idolatry and the worship of false gods. And they had stepped away from God and they had stepped into sin in their life. And their lives were tainted with sin. So God had to send judgment. The first part of the book of Isaiah is God warning his people about judgment to come. Guess what? That judgment came. When God had the Assyrians go and destroy the city of Israel, Jerusalem, and carry away the people into captivity for over 70 years. They suffered in a land that they didn't belong in. They were messed up by their sins, and they were living in a land, a foreign land that they didn't belong in because they were a captive people. Remember the verse I said, O captive daughter of Zion? God speaking to his people, because anything that has you bound, anything in your life, any addiction, or whatever that might be, any kind of sin, whatever it is, when Jesus sets you free, you're free indeed. Amen. How many knows that those sins should not no longer shackle you or keep you in bondage? God said, I've set you free. Not set you free to go and sin like you want to, but set you free to live in liberty and life with Jesus. That's what the Lord did. And that's what he was telling Israel to do. I want you to come back. I've sent my Redeemer. I've sent hope. I've sent my help. And that was a prophetic word toward Christ. That's what Jesus would come to do. Save his people and deliver them from their sin. That was what the Lord was saying in the last several chapters of the book of Isaiah. I know you've been in sin. I know you've been asleep. I know you've been laying in the dust. I know you've been laying with other lovers. I know you've been two-timing me. I know you've been unfaithful to me. I know you've done these things. But yet I love you. And I'm long-suffering, and I'm patient, and I'm not willing that any should perish. You know what? God loves us enough that he keeps chasing us anyway. God loves us enough that no matter how often you push that pause or that snooze button, there's a relentless God who's always in pursuit of your heart, because he wants you to open your heart so his life can flood you. Lord Jesus, awake us. Awake us. Boy, awake, O sleeper. You know, how many's ever heard the man in the Bible, Jonah? It's one of my favorite characters to read. And as a kid, we read and study about Jonah. What's significant about Jonah? What's significant about Jonah? Come on, anybody. Just listen. Basic Bible stuff. The well. Yeah, we always think about the well. It is. That the well had a great part to do with Jonah. You know what? And God asked Jonah to do something. God asked him to go preach to people he didn't want to preach to. Oh, you preachers here today. God asked Jonah to preach to people that he didn't want to preach to. Oh, but I don't want to go behind the walls and preach. I don't want to go to the homeless and preach. I don't want to go to the streets and preach. Give me a nice little comfortable church with people sitting on pews. Give me a nice little pulpit and I'll preach all day long, Pastor. Oh, but I don't want to go to the homeless. I don't want to go to the streets. I don't want to go to the poor. I don't want to go to the halt. I don't want to go to the lame. And Jonah decided he wasn't going to do what the Lord asked him to do. So the first thing he did was get him a ticket on a cruise ship. It wasn't a cruise ship, but he went on a ship to Tarsus. He was fleeing from the Lord. Listen to what I'm saying. He was fleeing from the Lord. Hear me what I'm saying today. Hear what I'm saying. Jesus is trying to wake people. And this may be simple. This may be elementary. This may be stupid and silly to you. But there is a real God by the power of the Holy Spirit in this room trying to wake you up. Trying to shake you. Trying to wake you up. Look around you, friend. Look around you. Look around you. Look around you. There's an enemy trying to lure you away. Trying to keep you on the bed of ease. Amos chapter 6. This is what the Lord says to his people. Woe unto them who are at ease in Zion. Woe unto them. When God says woe in the Bible, that means, oh, we better listen. We better listen. Woe to them that are asleep. Woe to them that are comfortable. Woe to them that are relaxed. Woe to them that are not walking in their purpose and the plan that I have for them. You've been lulled in the lap of the enemy. You've been laying in the lap of other lovers. And listen, God is saying it's time to wake up. It's time to get up. It's time to walk in the powerful purpose and plan of God so I can move in your life. So I can move in your life. So you can set the captive free. So you can see the blind eyes open. So you can see the dead raised. So you can see those who are bound in prison be set free. That's what he's given you to do. And I'm quickly winding this up. It's not going anywhere like I thought. So Jonah ended up on a boat to Tarsus, running from the Lord, fleeing from the Lord. There's some of you in this room, you've been running a long time. You've been running. You've been hiding from the Lord. God has his hand on you. And I don't believe it's people who just literally meaningful. Well, God, I'm just going to run. No, you're avoiding what God has called you and purposed you to do. You've avoided what God has purposed and called you to do. You know what? I can tell you a powerful story about a young man in this room. Please listen. That's just Ben, guys. Ben, okay? Everybody say, look, Ben, be Ben. Don't let Ben distract you from this word right here, okay? Because God's got a word for you. There's a young man in this room that sat on the deathbed beside his father, his dad's dead body. And God spoke to him, and he's spoken to him before, about a dream, a purpose, a plan that God had for him. And so his dad urged him along in this to follow the Lord. He was raised in a home where he was taught to follow the Lord. And God had a call on his life. God had a plan for his life. But he avoided it. He ran from it. He sort of hid from it. And lots of times we can hide in different things. Jonah was in a ship, but we can hide in different things. We can hide behind different kinds of stuff. But God's calling you out today, and he's trying to wake you up. He's trying to wake you up. Like the storm came on that ship that Jonah was in, and the boat was being tossed to and fro. And water was filling the boat. And here the merchants and the sailors on the boat was getting scared and concerned. And they said, what's going on? What's going on? And they realized that Jonah was on the boat. And they sit down to Jonah and they said this word to him, "Awake, O sleeper. Awake, Jonah. Wake up, O sleeper." So from the bedside of that dying dad, the Lord spoke a word and said, "I want you to do something." I don't know whether you realize this, but Bobby's dad was a preacher, preached for years around the mountains of Southwest Virginia. A preacher who preached the word of God throughout the mountains, who sung songs and praised God and walked in the purpose and plan of God. And Bobby was raised in a lot of that. But Bobby got a hold of the Lord, and his dad knew that, and he urged him on and encouraged him in the faith. But listen, this young man wanted to avoid that at all possibility. I don't want to be about that. I don't want to be about that. He's even told me before, "Well, I will be about it." But he kept avoiding. He kept being distracted. He kept running away from his purpose until that day beside his dying dad. And the Lord spoke to him through Elijah. Remember what Elijah did? Told Elisha. Said, "Elisha, I'm getting ready to leave you. I'm getting ready to leave you, Elisha. What do you want me to do for you?" "Oh, please don't leave me, Master. Please don't leave me. You've been a teacher. You've been my mentor. I won't be able to make it without you, Elijah." And Elisha said, "But if you're going to leave me, do this one thing for me. Give me a double portion of what you have. I want what you've got and more. I want what you've got and more." You see what Jesus did? Jesus said, "The things that you see me do, even greater things will you do." Not that they're important, not in their importance, but in the fact they'll be more far-reaching. They'll be greater in number. Listen, we've been mandated by the Son of God to carry a mantle of anointing, to carry the gospel to the ends of the earth. We can't do that if we're slumbering and we're sleeping. We've got to rise up like a church in this day, and we've got to do what God compels us to do. Amen. "I will do that. Elisha, if you'll do this, keep your eyes on me. Keep your eyes on me. When you see me taken up, whatever you do, keep your eyes on me." And Elisha didn't know the way that Elijah was going to be called up. But one day when it was time, the heavens opened and a chariot of fire, horses on fire and a chariot of fire broke open the sky. And oh, they descended to catch up Elijah. Oh, how powerful that is. Elijah was caught up in this powerful whirlwind. And as he was leaving, the young prophet Elisha remembered what the words of his master said. "You got to keep your eyes on me." Listen, we can't put our eyes on the fascination with things. Listen, we got to realize as a church, we can't put our eyes on personalities. We can't put our eyes on just fancy music, great music. We can't put our eyes upon this and that. We got to keep our eyes on Jesus. No matter what it takes, you got to keep your eyes on Jesus. You've asked a hard thing, but this is what I'm going to do. Keep your eyes on me, Elisha. So Jody, that day beside his dying dad laying there, and I walked into the room. Bobby was laying there weeping in his hands beside his dead dad's body. And he said, "Pastor R, I'm tired of running. I'm not going to run anymore. God's handed me the mantle. He's handed me the mantle." You see, there's a legacy God's leaving you. There's a powerful thing that God's given you to walk in. And so what Elijah did, he took his cloak, which symbolized the anointing. He took his cloak from that chariot of fire, because Elisha kept his eyes on his old teacher. He took that and he threw it to the ground. And Elisha got up. And he picked up the mantle. And the first thing he did was to do a miracle. Amen. With that mantle, he wrapped it around his arms and smote the river. And the river parted. Listen, God's got powerful things for you to walk in. But you'll never walk in them as long as you're sleeping. As long as you're sleeping, you need to wake up. Somebody tell somebody to wake up. Wake up. Wake up. Isn't it amazing that all these awesome things are going on around us? And it's like, wow. All those powerful images that I showed you. Listen, I've prayed and I've cried and I've wept and I've been burned for a lot of these things that I'm shouting and rejoicing in. Kathy was sort of getting on to me the other day. I've been going up there 2 or 3 times a day because that's a special place. And Kathy said, I told her the other day, I'm going to go back up there. Well, you were just up there 2 hours ago. What else are they going to do in 2 hours? I'm just excited about what God is doing. I'm excited about what God is doing. God's looking for some people to wake up and be excited about what he's doing. Some of you need to wake up. You're sleeping. You're slumbering and you're sleeping. You're like Sleeping Beauty. You've been plucked by a witch's needle. That's fairy tale, by the way. It's not preached. It's not gospel. But you know the children's story. And she slept a long time until her prince came. Until her prince came. Amen. Our prince has come. I said, 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 our prince has come. Awake, 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 awake. You know what God showed me? Many people in this room are on this cot right here. Many people are on this cot right here this morning. We act like, oh, cool, we got it together. But the world is dying lost. And the cry of lost sinners are dying and crying out. And we're so cumbered about with many things that are really not even significant about the purpose and plan of God. I want my eyes to be on Jesus. I want my eyes to be on Jesus. If I say, wake up. Wake up. Wake up, Jonah. Jonah woke up. Jonah woke up, and you know the story, they threw him overboard. Romans 13 and 11. Knowing that the time is, knowing the time, now is the high time to wake up out of our sleep. That's what Paul said to the church in Rome. Now, knowing that what time it is, it's time to wake up out of your sleep. Ephesians 5 and 14. Awake you that sleep and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give you light. Wake up. Wake up. Wake up. Everybody say, wake up. Wake up. Wake up. Not so much now, but Hannah stays there out some, and I noticed that she's more alert now. She's getting up and she's running 3 or 4 miles a day, and she's eating healthy foods and all this kind of stuff. But there was a time that I would have to go up and knock on the door. Hannah! 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 Wake up! I'm telling her, wake up! Come back downstairs 15 minutes later, Roy. Go back up. I think Hannah's getting ready. There, the room is, door's closed, and there's the lights off again. Hannah! Hannah! Wake up! Every message that God sends your way is a wake-up call to you. Every sign that you see in the earth that things are happening in the earth that are unexplainable is a wake-up call to you. When you see the book of Revelation being revealed in the earth today, it should be a wake-up call to you. Do you hear what I'm saying? It should be a wake-up call to us to know that Jesus is coming. And if Jesus doesn't split the cloud today, we'll look for him to split the cloud tomorrow. But if he doesn't come in the next 5 years or the next year or the next several months, the fact is, If you check out of this earth, your time has come. And so work while it's day, because when night comes, nobody can work. Now's the time to rise up and walk in the purpose and plan of God. Amen. Somebody shout amen. Awake. Awake. Wake up. Wake up. Wake up. Shake off. Everybody say shake off. I want everybody to stand up to your feet. Now, Lexi, don't laugh at me. But you know what? Some symbol, powerful symbolism of faith are important for us to get a hold of something in our spirit. How many knows that what does collect some? Well, does it collect on running, moving, agitated people? Does it do that? Where does dust collect? On settled places. Dust collects on things that are not moving. And if you're not moving for Jesus, like his people was, like Zion was, like the message to his church, to his people, which is us, it's a spiritual representation. When he said, "Awake, O Zion," that he's talking to us. He's talking to this people right now. He's talking to his people right now, in this day, in this moment. Awake, wake up, Zion, and shake yourself. Shake yourself. Shake yourself from the dust. Dust. And people who were mourning and grieving, they would run, and they would take buckets or vessels of ashes, and they would heap them up over themselves. How many's ever heard that happen? They would mourn in sackcloth and ashes. They would cover themselves with dust. They would cover themselves with things that had already been burned. They would cover themselves from past things in their life. Dust accumulate on things that are not moving. And God told his people to wake up and shake off. Everybody say, shake off. Turn to somebody and say, shake off. It's time for you to shake off some things. You got two hands right here. You got two arms. I want you to do something right now. I want you to shake it off right now. Come on, shake it off. You say, shake it off. I know we don't have the vertebrae system like a dog to shake and everything fall off of us. But sometimes spiritually, we got to do that. We got to shake every part of our life. Shake it off. Shake it off. Shake it off. We got to shake ourselves from the past. Your past is your past. It doesn't define your future. The mess you made in your past is the mess you made in your past. I'm glad there's a Jesus who is alive and well today, who is ready to deliver you from your sin and shake you from your past. You're not defined by your past. I don't care what you've done. I don't care what kind of drugs you've been on. I don't care how many bottles of booze you drunk. I don't care how many beds you slept in. I don't care how many times you sold yourself. I don't care how many stupid stuff you've done. We've all done stupid stuff. So quit looking around at everybody like, "Well, your stuff was more stupid than mine." We've all sinned. We've all come short. We've all got things that we need to shake ourselves from. Shake it off. Shake it off. Shake it off. What you've got your hands in your pocket for, shake it off. That's the way a lot of people are. They stand around with their hands in their pocket. I don't mean it in a bad way, Ring. God's calling us, and we're just there. God's powerful word has been preached. Miracles are happening. People being set free People been saved from their sin. They're crying. Their hearts are broken in an altar. Wake up! Wake up! Wake up! And Christ shall give you life. Shake yourself from the sins that are trying to hold on to you. You don't need no sins. That's not your identity. That's not who you are. That wasn't who Zion was. That wasn't who Israel was. You're my daughter. You're my people. You're my bride. I've got special garments for you. Put on these garments. I've got a place here beside me that I want you to live and dwell in. Shake yourself from the past. Shake yourself from the ruins. Shake yourself from the dust. Shake yourself from the disappointment. Shake yourself from the pain. Shake yourself from the depression. Shake yourself from the misery. Shake yourself from a life gone bad. Wake up, people, Lord. Wake them up. If it takes a month for them going without sleep, speak into their heart and life that they need to wake up and hear the gospel and be saved and set free from their sin. Wow. Shake yourself from the dust of doubt and fear, the dust of religion, things dying and collecting on you. Shake yourself. Finally, loose yourself. Everybody say, loose yourself. We're closing right here. God is doing something, man, right now. Rick, what was the word the Lord? What was the Lord, the word put on you? Intensity? This is intense. Loose yourself. Everybody say, loose yourself. Loose yourself. Loose yourself from the bands, the yoke, the chains. Somebody help me out here. Come on, Tiff. Come over here. Loose yourself. Loose yourself. Loose yourself. Loose yourself. Everybody say, loose yourself. Loose yourself. Jesus come to set you free. Jesus come to set you free. I said, Jesus come to set you free. I said, Jesus come to set you free. Don't come to the place of worship all bound up, all twisted up, all tied up. You can't lift your hands. You can't dance. You can't praise the Lord because your life has you all chained up. And some of you need to get free. Loose yourself. Loose yourself. Some of us are this bound today spiritually in our life. You got chains around your neck. You got chains on your arm. You got chains on your feet. You got chains wrapped around your heart. You got chains all around you. You got chains on you. The bands are the chains that hold you back. Every person in this room, including me, times in your life have things that hold you back. We're free, but we're not free. The word says we're free, but we're not free. We like this message, Jesus come to set us free. We like this, these messages, these songs about freedom. And we're singing them, but are we free? Are we free? Are we free? Are we free? Everybody shout free. 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 Loose yourself. Loose yourself. Loose yourself. There's some of you like Lazarus. You've had a Jesus experience in your life. Jesus told his disciples when he was asked to go raise Lazarus from the dead, his best friend. He told his disciples after he tarried for just a couple of days. Jesus told his disciples, we're going to go wake Lazarus up. We got a lot of Lazaruses in the church today. We got a lot of people, not just in the church, but we got people who need to be awakened. And Jesus was talking about it, a man that was dead. But Jesus knew that he was the resurrection and the life. And those people would believe in him would not die but live. Live, 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 live. How many knows you can't live this way? Turn to somebody and say, I can't live this way. Oh, come on. Turn to somebody and say, I can't live this way. God don't want you to live this way. He got you out of the grave. He don't want you to walk around in grave clothes. He don't walk you around. He wants you to walk around confined and covered with dust from an empty grave. God wants you to be free. And you can never get people free until you're free. So loose yourself. Say loose yourself. Loose yourself. Loose yourself. Loose yourself. Loose yourself. Loose yourself. Come on. Loose yourself. Loose yourself. Loose yourself. Loose yourself. Loose yourself. Wake up. Shake off. Loosen up. Level three. If you knew Dakota, that is not his comfort zone. Some of you need to quit worrying about being comfortable and wake up. When I see Jody lifting his hands and praising God, that's definitely not his comfort zone. I see him going to prison and preaching, sharing the message of the gospel behind the walls. That's not his comfort zone. He's ready to wake people up. And I pray that he has today. He's ready to shake some things. You're ready to shake some things off. And he's ready to loosen things off your life right now. Chris, where is Andrew? Okay. So this is what I want you to do today. I want you to be real honest. God can't help you if you're not honest. How many knows that? If you're sitting there right now saying, who was this message for? Because it really wasn't for me. It's for you. Excuse me. It's for me. And I'm the one that had the mantle deliver that today. The heaven is to deliver that. But it's for me. Awake. Awake us. Awake us, Lord. Throughout this message today, I feel impressed to say this. I don't know who, but when this message was being delivered, every time the Lord would give you a nudge, every time the alarm went off, you know what some of you were doing? Pushing the snooze button. Give me 5 more minutes, Lord. Give me a few more days and I'll straighten up. Give me a few more church services and I'll kick it in. I'll do what I'm supposed to do. How many knows that God called you today? I bet you shout today. The truth is, you don't have tomorrow. And listen, I know this has been a little bit heavy, but it should be good. I said it might be a little heavy, but it should be good. Because if you know you do what the word says, guess what? You're going to wake up. you're going to shake off and you're going to loosen up. Amen. Loosen up. Loosen up. So could we bow our head? If you're here today and God has spoke to your heart about anything, God, I've really been sleeping. I've not meant to. I'm not trying to be mean. I'm not trying to refuse you or refuse what you said, but really I've been asleep. I've been sleeping. I've been walking through this world in a sleepwalk. I've been walking through this world in a sleepwalk. And that's dangerous. And Lord, I need to wake up and I need to shake off some stuff off of my life. I need to shake off the pain of my past and the things that have gathered and collected on my life and held me back. And then I need to loosen the chains that's holding me from your purpose and your plan. If you're here today and the Lord spoke to your heart and you need Jesus in any way today, would you slip your hand up with mine and say, "Brother, pray for me, Pastor. I'm going to be real. I'm going to be real. I don't know how any way else to do it except I'll be real right now." And that's all the Lord wants you to do. I'm not going to come back to you that people are raising their hand all over this building. I'm not going to come back to you and say, "Oh, you know, this or that." I'm not going to do that. That's between you and the Lord. But I know the voice of the Holy Spirit, and I know He's speaking today. I can't even see out of my eyes right now. And I'm looking back there, and I see like smeared people. But I know that there are a lot of hands raised all over this room right now. If you're here today and the Lord has spoke to your heart about anything, and you may love Jesus, you may have known the Lord, and you may be serving God the best you can, but God spoke to your heart today in some element of this word and said, "You need to wake up, you need to shake off, you need to loosen up." Is that you? Raise your hand with mine. Keep it up in the air, nice and high, nice and high, nice and high. Be honest with the Lord, because I'm going to ask you to do something. I'm going to ask you, there are going to be people at this altar. There are going to be people at this altar. You know, we've laughed, we've cried, we've had fun, and I hope you have. And you know, we've done some crazy things, like put a mask on, and I wasn't doing that to be stupid or silly. I was just trying to say that, you know, sometimes that's the way we are when we're, you know, that's the way sometimes I am. But this morning, if you're here and you need Jesus to do a work in your life, whatever it may be, this alarm's going to go off one time, one last time. And I pray that nobody reaches and pushes the snooze button, but everybody will wake up. Everybody will stand up and begin today to walk in the purpose and plan of God. When I count to three, the alarm's going to go off. I want you to respond. I want you to get out of bed. I want you to get up. It's time to rise and shine. One, two, three. I want you to rise and shine.